Palm Sunday. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just. He brings salvation. He brings peace. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We sing two songs. You are the King of Glory, followed by Hosanna in the highest. Thank you. Now let us pray together. Living God, God of past and future, we bow before you and offer you our praise and our worship. Fill us with your joy and empower us with your Holy Spirit, so that our strength may be renewed to sing a new song of your glory in a world which longs to know more of you. More of your love, your mercy, your justice, and your peace. Meet with us now. Touch our hearts and grant us your blessing. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, and our King. Amen. Our reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And Brian is going to read it for us.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.
Thank you, Brian. We sing again. My song is Love Unknown. Gosh, what a day. We call it Palm Sunday. For Jesus, it was Passover time, and the city of Jerusalem was crammed full with people. The reputation of Jesus had already spread. The very day before, Jesus had produced the mightiest miracle he had ever done when he raised Lazarus from the dead. That was yesterday. Now, coming into town, Jesus healed two more men, blind men, and now they were able to see. The masses of people had heard about these miracles, and everyone wanted to see if he could do it again. They wanted to see the healer in action. Well, who wouldn't? I mean, if this Jesus could pull off another trick out of his bag, then they'd believe. Oh, yes. They'd believe then. And you know, there are people who are just like that today. Folks who will only believe if they see a sign or witness a miracle. I suppose that's why many of our churches are empty, because these people never see anything with the eyes of faith. Anyway, this was only one group that was present on that first Palm Sunday. Others were there too. And this group of people didn't want a religious carnival at all. They weren't looking for a magic trick. Oh no, these people were much more serious. They were looking for a political revolution, no less. For them, it was just like a mass political rally with all its intense fanaticism. To understand these feelings, and to understand Palm Sunday, we need to understand this rising of nationalistic fervour. This revolution had started way back in 63 BC, when Pompey, a Roman general, conquered Israel, and the Israelites suddenly found themselves once again in slavery. Ever since then, the Israelites were trying to get rid of the Romans. And the Jews hated the Romans for many reasons. For one thing, the Romans made the Jews eat pork, which was against their religion. They made them worship Caesar, which was even worse. They even stopped them from circumcising their children. But the worst thing for the Jews, I suppose, they then bled them dry with taxes. So it's quite easy to understand, I think, why the Jews hated the Romans, and why a revolution was in the making. On this Passover day, when Jesus came riding into town, there'd already been 32 political riots in 5 years. And according to the Bible reading for today, they were on the very edge of another one. In other words, it was political pandemonium. It was utter chaos. The town was ready to explode. All it needed was a little spark. We're told that there were 3 to 5 million people were jammed into the town that day. And just a spark, and it would blow sky high. Two groups of people on that first Palm Sunday. There were the religious fanatics who said, "Jesus, give me a miracle, and I'll believe." Then there were the political fanatics who said, "Restore our freedom and get rid of the Romans, and then we'll believe." Would you believe both groups chanted "Hosanna to the Son of David"? They both waved palm branches in the air. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus rode into town on a donkey. The crowds wanted him to ride on a big white horse, dignified in the sunlight, or on a chariot of war, glistening in its golden trim. But Jesus rode on an animal of peace, not war. The crowd wanted him to grasp the sword in his hand and wave that sword to show that he and his followers, to show what he and his followers would do to the Romans. But Jesus had an olive branch in his fingers, a sign of peace. The crowds wanted him to give inflamed and impassioned speeches to inspire them into revolution. They wanted the shouts of soldiers, but they only heard the songs of children. And Jesus didn't say a word. Not one word as he rode into that city. The crowd was chanting at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the King!" But slowly and gradually, those hosannas became quieter and quieter and quieter. And then nothing. By the afternoon, another chant had begun. At first, almost a whisper. "Crucify him." It was soft, so soft. But it became louder and louder, finally bursting with power as they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify that man! He's an imposter! He's a fake! He's no king!" They wanted a warrior on a war horse, and instead they got a carpenter on a donkey. And so they killed him, and they put a poster above his head. "King of the Jews." What a joke that was. But that's the way it was on that first Palm Sunday. There were two times in the Gospels when the crowds tried to force Jesus to be king. One in John chapter 6, where Jesus had fed the 5,000, when Jesus caused that much food to be freely available for everyone. Those people wanted to make him king then. But the Bible says he wouldn't be their king, and he withdrew into the country. The second time that the crowd wanted to force Jesus to be king was on the Palm Sunday we're talking about. Jesus had worked big miracles. He'd raised Lazarus from the dead, and then he'd healed two blind men. Come on now, if Jesus had that kind of power to heal, to make the blind see, the dead to live, the crowd wanted to make him king. So once again, the crowds tried to force him to be their king. And Jesus refused again. This is twice that Jesus had disappointed them. Eventually, the crowds brought Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate questioned Jesus. He said, "You are Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Correct? Right?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But Pilate persisted. "Are you the King of the Jews? Come on, out with it. Are you or aren't you?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not like yours." Then Pilate asked the crucial question. "Well then, Jesus, what kind of king are you?" "What kind of king are you, Jesus of Nazareth?" And that's my question today. What kind of king was this Jesus of Nazareth? Think about it. Did Jesus live in a palace? Did he have a beautiful golden throne on which he sat, like all the other kings? Was his crown made out of diamonds inlaid with gold? Did he wear sumptuous robes and have a beautiful queen seated at his left hand? Was he surrounded by valets and servants to fill his every wish? Did he have swords and spears and chariots and armies, like the other kings of this world? No, of course he didn't, because his kingship was not of this world. That's what he told us. So I ask you again, what kind of king was this Jesus of Nazareth? It's hard to recognize this king because he doesn't act like a king. He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't behave like a king. I mean, could you imagine any head of state getting down on their knees and washing the feet of his followers? Not even our queen would do that. Or what kind of king is this who dresses up like a carpenter? And not only dresses up like a carpenter, but actually is a carpenter who builds benches and chairs and things like that. Have you ever heard of a king doing such plain and ordinary things? I haven't. What kind of king is it that's like a rejected father who goes out and waits at the fence for his son to come back to him? What kind of king is it that searches for his lost citizens, just like a shepherd searches for his lost sheep? Or what kind of king allows you to address him by his first name, even a nickname, which allows you to address him so personally? What kind of king is this when you and I have committed a crime and we're bound to be executed for that crime? This king comes forward and volunteers to be executed on our behalf. Ever heard of such a king? Someone who's prepared to die in the place of the likes of you and me? It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. It does not make any sense. Jesus himself said, "My kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world." What kind of king is this who wants to rule our hearts, to rule within and not from without? Who doesn't want our outer compliance? He just wants our love. A king who doesn't want duty, just wants open, loving hearts that obey and do the will of God. What a strange kind of king Jesus is. But look, here he comes again. Palm Sunday 2021. Jesus, Son of God, Lord and Saviour of mankind, the King of our world and the King of our lives. So let's worship him with awe and welcome him into our lives again this morning. Jesus the King, our King. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. On this Palm Sunday, Father, we remember how quickly we change, how fickle we are, how we pledge our devotion one minute and turn our backs the next. For we too go from shouting, "Hosanna, save us," to crucifying, and we do it so quickly. We declare that we love our neighbours, and then we turn our backs on the homeless and the hungry in our communities. We speak up for change and justice in one breath, and then continue unjust practices in daily lives by what we consume and the needs we ignore. Father God, forgive us, for we are half-hearted believers. Forgive us for all the times we so easily ignore the needs of others. Forgive us, for we tire easily, and we forget, and we grow weary. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us and renew us for the journey of faith, so that we might become whole people, people who live wholly in your vision of new life. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is one of my favourite hymns. It's a great hymn. It was written a long time ago, but it still speaks so forcibly today. It says, "The Lord is King, lift up thy voice, O earth and all ye heavens rejoice. From world to world the joy shall ring, the Lord omnipotent is King." We sing this tune, we sing this hymn to the tune Niagara. Thank you. Now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you forever. Amen.